Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord God, for the lovely day you have given unto us. The day the Lord has made, we are rejoicing already and we are glad in it, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Because we are commanded, rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us, in the name of the Lord Jesus. No matter what the world is doing, we are in the world, we are not of the world. We are citizens of heaven and fellow heirs with the saints. In the name of the Lord, our conversation is in heaven. From where we look again for our Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you, Father. Our heart is, our thought is where our treasure is, which means heaven. Lord, we thank you this morning for the opportunity to gather together. Lord, to have fellowship one with another. Knowing that each of us do have our fellowship with you. But you commanded, forsake not the assembly one of another together. In the name of the Lord Jesus. This is the ordination of the Lord. And we are so glad that the people told us to be here together this morning again. We worship and we adore you, Lord. The King of glory. Like Abraham was sharing. He that inhabits eternity. Yet he finds time for us. And he makes us his own very temple. He dwells with the humble also. How great thou art, O Father. In the name of the Lord Jesus. He so much love for us. You are the true vine. And we are the branches, sir. And you in us and we in you, inseparable, in the name of Jesus. We are planted in the palm of his hand and the Father's hand. Nobody can separate us. No angel, no principality, nothing present or anything to come shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So we thank you. We worship you, Father. You even inhabit our praises. Lord, we thank you. So this morning, as we read the scripture this morning, Father, leave us a blessing. And we know you will. Father, in Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Praise the Lord Jesus. So this morning, by the grace of God, at wit's end. I don't know if you have been there before. At wit's end. So you have, in all sincerity, done all you know how to do. And now you don't even know what to do next, I don't know if I've been there before. Well, I see the Bible. Many Bible says I've been there before. I think I've been there before. So at which end? So and in such a situation, what do you really do? And so what do you do? So it means to the Christian, you have a need for a miracle. Amen. Praise the Lord. That's what the child of God will do. Come for a miracle. And the Bible is a book of miracles. But strangely enough, though, some of the most important miracles recorded in the Bible have been largely forgotten. Then God's children suffer, right? Because they don't remember the word of the Lord. See? Thy word have I hid in my heart. I say not against you, right? But we do forget one of his promises, and we suffer, And so they are ignored. Yet, these forgotten promises of miracles, the Bible reveals some of the most wonderful truths of the scriptures, And then this morning, I will touch on some of these miracles and some of that, in the Bible and so on. What we did to us, then it to make us to realize the potentialities of faith, the infinite possibilities of faith. Say infinite, yes. The Lord say, nothing shall be impossible unto you, amen. Leave me not the only one of Israel. Don't do it. Don't limit him and so on. There's no limit to the Almighty. He is the Most High God, Now, so we can see by reading some of this miracle this morning, realize the potentialities of faith. Number two, acquaint ourselves with the supernatural so that we do not live our lives altogether in the natural realm. Praise God. As a Christian, we are not to live in the natural realm. In fact, we are told in the Bible, 1 Corinthians 16:13, watch ye as a Christian, stand fast now in the faith. Quit you like men. Be strong. Amen. Praise the Lord. See? And the Bible says, he called them gods. That's more G now. Unto whom the word of God come. Amen. Praise the Lord. See? So now, another thing this thing will do for us, this miracle that we read about today is this. To remember that nothing is too hard for the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. So put those things in your hand and your mind. Now realize that the potentialities of faith, they are infinite. Acquaint ourselves with the supernatural. See? Number three, remember that nothing is too hard for the Lord. Now, that is in Genesis 18:14. Let me begin from there. So, in anything, I mean, is anything too hard for the Lord? The Bible said, you know the story about that and so on. No? At the time appointed, I will return unto thee, talking to Sarah, Abraham, according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. Talking of nothing is too hard for the, you know, for the Lord. In scientific time or so, in modern parlance, oh, she's past age and so on, she cannot be able, but not with God. With God, all things are possible. Amen. Now, Jeremiah 32:27. Talking about to remember this money, this miracles, and so on, that nothing is too hard for the Lord. Jeremiah 32:27. Behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? The Lord said. Luke 18:27. And he said, the things which are impossible with man or with men are possible with God. Praise the Lord. Now, with end, even in the Bible, in the book of Psalms, the Bible recorded the scenario of a businessman on the high seas. You know, let's see what they go through and so on. Let's see how they got out. They were in trouble. How they got out of it. You know, so in Psalm 107:23, they that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, they see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. Perhaps they saw it, they didn't acknowledge God, they didn't acknowledge the law, they saw all those things, they didn't acknowledge the law and something like that, you know. So I believe so. They see the works of the Lord and the wonders of the deep. For he commanded and raised up the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are their wits end. See that one? They were at wits end. What happened to them? Where is the way out? Where you are at your wits end? He said, don't run etta skater. Don't go to the wrong places. The only way of deliverance is what they did here. Amen. What did they do? Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm. See that? No matter what storm they are in. See? You know, if you do it the right way, and do what you are doing here, call upon the Lord, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad, because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. You have a place, the first thing you want to do. You have a target, you have a plan. And you know it is in God's way, right? And that's derailment. All kind of obstacle before you. You come to your own end. You don't know what to do anymore. What do? Cry unto the Lord. He will bring you to your desired haven. Amen. Oh, that men will praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. Now, some of these miracles here. So, and even in John, talking about the storm, right? In John chapter 6, verse 15, there have been so great a miracle. He fed the 5,000, great miracle and so forth, you know. And then he sent the disciples to just go in the ship, right? He himself go to the mountain alone to go and pray. But he's watching over you. He's watching over there. While he was on the mountain, he is the Almighty, right? The all-seeing eye, right? Nothing can hide from him. Praise the Lord. At one time, when he chose one of the disciples called Nathanael, you know, I saw you under the fig tree. Rabbi, how did you know that I'm under the fig tree? I saw you there. And so he is the all-seeing eye. Praise the Lord. Amen. So while he was on the mountain praying, and so that you know he set them on the lake and to go across the sea, but he was watching over them. He knew they would get into trouble, amen. And he was ready to deliver. Praise God. So he's watching over you today. No matter what storm you get into. Quickly, in John 6, verse 15. When Jesus therefore perceived that he will come and take him by force to make him a king, he departed again into a mountain alone to pray. And when even was now come, his disciples went down into the sea and entered into a ship, and went over the sea toward Capernaum. And it was now dark, and Jesus was not come to them. In the rendition of other gospels, so we see it more clearly, but that's what happened really, you know. He went to the mountain to go and pray alone. He sent them on the sea and something like that, you know. And the sea arose by reason of a great wind that blew. So when they had rowed about 5 and 20 or 30 furlongs, they see Jesus walking on the sea and draw nigh unto the ship, and they were afraid. And he said unto them, it is I, be not afraid. Then they willingly received him into the ship, and immediately the ship was at the whither they went. Praise the Lord. So we are God's children, right? We are walking this king's highway, right? And with you always, amen. You may not see physically, but it's nevertheless here. You don't see the hair, right? You can breathe the hair, right? Why can't you believe God? Praise God. And you can breathe, you know there's oxygen in the air. That's why you are alive. You don't see the oxygen, but you can be, you know. So God is even more greater than that, you know. So he sent you on an era where it's watching over you. No matter what storm you get into, it's right there to save us and to deliver us. Praise the name of the Lord Jesus. The Lord careth for you and I. 1 Peter 5:8, I believe, say, casting all your cares upon him, right? For he careth for you. Praise the Lord. So even storm was there right there to save them. Now, so you know, so we see the children of Israel. You know, they were let go by the power of God to leave Egypt, the house of bondage. They had to go through the wilderness, right? And so they were on their way. You know, so and you know, on their way, you know, they were to go to this promised land as God delivered them from the house of bondage. A journey that was to take them only 40 days. But we know it took 40 years. Why? Because of unbelief. When they were just they were so near the land that God said, okay, Moses, select one person out of each tribe. Let them go and spy the land. They didn't take a camel, they walked there. Amen? That's how near the promised land was. They were so close, you know, and so they were able to walk there. 240, you know, and they walk there and they see everything God promised. A land flowing with milk and honey and everything. You know what? And then when they came back, only two gave two good report, Joshua and Caleb. The other 10, they gave an evil report. Bible warned us, lest any of you have an evil heart of unbelief. Amen? Unbelief is evil. Praise the Lord. I don't want to do anything with it. Praise God. Anyway, you know what happened to them? So because of their unbelief, and so to them 40 years, you know, for them to do that and so on. Anyway, that just by the way. Now, 40 years. So how in this journey, so as we all know, what kind of clothes are they going to wear? You know, so they will need clothing, right? They will need all these things and all that, you know. So, and we all know that it is normal for clothes to wear and for shoes to wear. You change your, many of yours change clothes every year. You know that, you know, anyway. And within a few months, whatever clothes they have on them will be torn aside, right? Their sandals will wear out. They are walking through the sand, right? This thing will wear out in no time whatsoever, you know. So, and we know there were no department stores in the Sinai Desert, as far as we know, right? So where would they go to get all these things? But the Almighty God who called them out, he cared for them. So, so what were the children of Israel going to do in the wilderness during those 40 years where there was no source of supply? What would they do? The answer is what God told us. They need a miracle, amen? Praise the Lord. They need a miracle of preservation of what they already have. There must be a preservation of the clothing they have on them. That's why in Deuteronomy 29, we are told verse 5. And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes are not waxing old upon you, and thy shoe is not waxing old upon thy foot. The Almighty God, the preserver, he can preserve. Even Nehemiah the prophet, 9:21 says the same thing. Yea, 40 years didst thou sustain them in the wilderness, so that they lacked nothing. That their clothes waxed not old, and their feet were not. The Almighty God preserved them. He called them out. He preserved them. They failed many times, but he still preserved them. So God, by a continuous miracle, preserved their garments and their footwear during the whole 40 years in the wilderness. So what are we talking about? The Lord is able to perform any necessary miracle in order to supply the needs of his trusting children. Amen? Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. That is it this morning. So come to your wit's end and you know all these things. Remember all these miracles and some that you know. And you can go through any storm and God will bring you through by trusting him.
I said the clothes may be growing with them as they're growing.
That's right. Can you imagine that? Praise the Lord. That's right. Praise God. 40 years, right? Yes. Praise the Lord Jesus. Amen. Supernatural. That's it. Quit yourself being men. Amen. We are reading this because we can be in the supernatural realm. That's what Christianity is all about. Christianity is about the gospel of the Lord Jesus. It is the gospel of the supernatural. Praise the Lord Jesus. Yeah, the shoe will grow too. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Anyway, so we see that one. So the Lord is able to perform any necessary miracle in order to supply the need of his trusting children. Not even only that. There are even how much food will they, where is the food they're going to be eating for 40 years, you know? And we know God has a provision in Exodus 16:1, the miracle of the manna. 16:1 of Exodus. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel come unto the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after they are departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, woe to God, we have died. So they are with them now, right? They are looking carnally, right? They forgot all the signs and wonders in Egypt. They forgot all the turning of the waters of Egypt to blood. They forgot how only they have light in Goshen and their darkness all of Egypt. Human nature, right? They forgot all those things, you know? And then they were complaining and murmuring anyway. They were East West End, right? They don't remember the wonders of God of old. Therefore, they be wrote, forget not all his benefits, amen? Amen. When you are at your wit's end, don't forget all his benefits. Thank him for what he has done for you already, amen? In your, you know, at your wit's end. Praise the Lord. So they forgot all those things and they are now murmuring and complaining, you know? Nevertheless, you know, because they are God's chosen people, God won't break his promise. So anyway, verse 4. Then said the Lord unto Moses, behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they will walk in my law or no. So this miracle stands out from other miracles in that it was repeated 12,500 times. God will rain down manna from heaven for these people. 12,500 in those 40 years and so on. Well, I won't go to the mass of it. You can do it for yourself. You know, I have it here, but I will skip that. But you just trust me for that. 12,500 times did the Lord do that miracle for them. So, and the manna only ceased the day after they passed over on the 48th day, you know. So, and for 40 years, the Lord laid that manna for them and so on, you know. And it only ceased when they don't need it anymore. So we can look at that in let me see that one. We can do that one really quickly in the Joshua chapter 5, verse 6. For the children of Israel walked 40 years in the wilderness. Verse 10 says, and the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho. And they did eat of the old corn that land of the land on the morrow after they passed over on leaven caked and parched corn in the self same day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna anymore, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year. So you see, so it took about 12,500 times. God rained that manna for them until it was no longer necessary and some of that, you know. So one of the, but this miracle is this, that the Lord, some of them in those days, they had to gather this thing only once a day and some of that, you know, and only 6 days a week. Or I mean, yeah, on the sixth day, they have a double portion, right? You know, now some of them, they don't believe the Lord still, you know, and they on the sixth, they will gather extra. And you know what happened? The thing will just turn into, just, you know, worms will just grow in it and it will stink, right? You know, so it happened that that's in the, you know, answer to that, you know. So, but the, when they have a double portion on the sixth day, it was all well, right? So for 40 years, God kept the people like that and fed them and some of that, you know. So what is it now? God wants daily dependence, amen? See? They were greedy. They don't want to believe the Lord. They were gathering that extra and it stank and it bred worms. God is teaching us their daily dependence. In Matthew 6:11, Bible tells us in the prayer of the Lord, give us this day our daily bread, amen? Praise the Lord. Amen. Having food and raiment, amen? Let's all be content, amen? People have more than thousands of clothes and they still are worried, right? Having food and raiment, let us be content. Anyway, so it is a humbling, it is humbling for people to have to depend daily upon God for their necessities. Yet, this continual trust in God for our needs is one of the most important lessons of life. Daily trusting the Lord, you know, for our needs, one of the most important lessons of life. This lesson of daily dependence on God is mentioned again in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 16. And it said this, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, see humility, and that he might prove thee to do thee good in the latter end. So it turned out that some of the so it is this. We must trust the Lord daily for our need. The Lord loves that daily contact and trusting him for everything we need. So of all the miracles in the Old Testament, this giving of the manna and the lesson of daily dependence on God's providence is one of the most important. So let us keep it in our mind to really depend upon the Lord, you know, in our walk with him. And the Lord even taught us the same thing. In Luke 12, we are taught the same thing. Bible says, have no anxiety about tomorrow. Amen. Praise the Lord. And look at the ravens, right? You know, they don't even have any. They don't sow, they don't reap, right? They don't even get that into barns. Yet, your heavenly Father feeds them. Amen. Praise the Lord. Look at the lily and so on, how they grow. They don't toil, they don't spin, right? And yes, Solomon, in all of his glory, not even a real like one of these things. The Lord is saying that don't have anxiety over anything. Praise the Lord. We can, you know, that we can please the Lord more if we just keep the word of the Lord. So now, one thing about this thing is this. So in that story of them, the manna continued for 40 years, right? The Lord, whatever the Lord has given you in miracles, in providence, the Lord will keep and sustain until you need it no more. Amen? Praise the Lord. Whatever God has given you in providence, in miracles and so on, he will sustain it until you need it no more. When they got to the Canaan, now they can now grow the corn, right? Then the manna is dried. We can see, look at the widow of Zarephath. I want to show you where God has given something to you providentially in miracles. He will sustain it until you don't need it anymore. Now, the widow of Zarephath and Elijah the prophet in 1 Kings 17, to make that point, and the widow, of course, Elijah said, Elijah and the widow and so on. And she said to Elijah, in 1 Kings 17, and it's a type of a witch end too. She said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I'm gathering 2 sticks that I may go and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. She was at her wit's end, right? you know, at that time and something like that, I'm dying. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. For thus said the Lord God of Israel, the barley of me shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. This miracle, O widow, shall continue until there is no more need for it. Amen? Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Verse 16 says what? And the barley of meat wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which is picked by Elijah. I can pick another example. I'm saying that when God providentially blesses you, and you are walking with the Lord, and you know, some people think that when God bless them, then they will backslide, or they think when God enrich you, then you backslide. Look at Abraham and so that, all that God did for Abraham and so on, you know. Even in the book of Job, he said that, the book of Job, shall thou lay up gold as the dust, right? And the gold of a fire as the stones of the brook, and thou shalt have plenty of silver. Then shall thou delight thyself in the Lord, amen? That is the net of God, amen? Praise God. When God bless them, they don't backslide. Praise the Lord. They praise God more. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The spirit of Abraham. Anyway, so we see that. So that's another example. What God providentially gives to you by miracle, it will keep as we walk with Him. Another widow. The widow, one of the wife of one of the sons of the prophet, came to Elisha. And she was at her wit's end. In 2 Kings 4, I read quickly. Verse 1. Now there are a cry to a certain woman of the wives or the sons of the prophets unto Elisha, saying, thy servant, my husband, is dead. And thou knowest that thy servant did fear the Lord, and the creditor is called to take unto him my two sons to be bondsmen. She was at her wit's end, really, don't know what to do. And Elisha said unto her, what shall I do for thee? Tell me, what hast thou in the house? And she said, thy handmaid hath not anything in the house, save a pot of oil. Then said he, go, borrow the vessels abroad of all thy neighbors, even empty vessels, borrow not a few. Praise God. And when thou hast come, thou shalt shut the door upon thee and upon thy sons, and shalt pour out into those vessels, and thou shalt set aside that which is full. So she went from him and shut the door upon her, upon her sons, who brought the vessels to her, and she poured out. And it came to pass, when the vessels were full, that he said unto her son, bring me yet a vessel. And he said unto her, there is not a vessel anymore. What happened? And the oil stayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. She now full, now there's no more need. Praise the Lord. So and then she came and told the man of God, and he said, go, sell the oil and pay thy debt, and leave thou and thy children all the rest. Amen. Providentially, when God, don't be afraid. When God blesses you and you're working with the Lord, and I need to bless you. That's even okay. In the New Testament, we are told to support the same truth. The Lord will do the same thing for you today and I today. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now in James 1:4, the same truth. And let patience have a perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, so let's see another miracle in the Bible here. You know, the miracle of the long day. So the children of Israel, they were taking the land, right? And they came to a place where they have really gotten, they have won the victory. But night was now at hand. Should night come upon them, these people that they conquer, they know the terrain. And they may escape to the mountains and they can't find them, right? So Joshua and the people, they needed more light, you know? And we are showing here, no matter what you need, where we are saying this thing, nothing is impossible with God. Amen. Whatever you need, according to the need of God, will supply it. Amen. So that has come now, and they don't want people to escape out of their hand. And that is in Joshua chapter 10. So, verse 12. So now, then spake Joshua to the Lord the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said in the sight of Israel, Sun, stand thou still upon Gibeon, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. See what happened. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed. Now watch again. Until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies, God provincially had Joshua's call, and that sun stood there until there was no more need, right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Until they had avenged themselves of their enemy before the sun ever was able to go down. Praise the Lord. See, providentially, God, definitely. Is not this written in the book of Joshua? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and has not gone down about a whole day. Some people have some trouble with that about a whole day. We know that according to science and so on, I can't confirm that. They say looking at the computer and so on, there is a missing day in history, you know. And some people are arguing that and people say because of this event in Joshua's day, it turns to the whole day, right? And they are saying that, it's not the whole day. I got news for them, you know. Another miracle occurred. The Lord God, who can call the sun to stay still, he can call the sun to move backwards. Amen?
Yeah.
Well, praise the Lord. So let me show you that in 2 Kings 20, you know. Miracle of the sun going down backward, 10 degrees. He is the creator of all. We are saying this to show the infinite possibilities of faith. Amen? Faith in the living God. The faith of God that can move any kind of mountain. Praise the Lord. 2 Kings 20. In those days, was Hezekiah sick unto death. 2 Kings 20. Well, don't put the verse here. Sorry. Unto death. And the prophet Isaiah, the son of Amos, came to him and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord, Set thy house in order, for thou shalt die and not live. Without going through all the story, so Hezekiah was sick unto death, right? And the normal course of events, his disease was fatal, and he would die because it was thus said the Lord, right? Well, we learn a lot of things from there. There are some prophecies, there are all kinds of prophecies. There are conditional prophecies, there are unconditional prophecies. Amen. Praise God. No point praying that, Lord, let not Armageddon come. I'm wasting my time. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh Lord, let not the Antichrist come and wasting my time. Those are unconditional prophecies. Praise the Lord. And there are conditional prophecies. This one is a conditional one. Blessed be the name of the Lord. How do we know? Because right there, Hezekiah now quickly turned. And he wept sorely. You know, need to plead his cause before the Lord. He was at his wit's end now, you know. And he called upon the Lord. And begin to tell the Lord, that you have mercy on him. So, but Hezekiah's faith changed the picture. In desperate prayer, he sought God that the supernatural might intervene in his behalf. He might live. When you're at your wit's end, you need that supernatural power of the Almighty. Amen. Don't go anywhere else. Amen. Praise God. He is the all-sufficient one. Bless me. For people, they try everything else but God. So, you see, so when you're at your wit's end, like this man, as I read before, only he has the answer, amen, the true answer. So he cries solely to the Lord and asking for the supernatural to intervene for him on his behalf and that he might live. Now, the prophet said that he would die, right? That he had only time left to prepare for his death. Nevertheless, Hezekiah, instead of dying, was healed, amen. And, how do you explain that? So, he is the Almighty God, our God. Is the God of miracles, amen. We want to tune to the supernatural power of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not to live in the natural arena, you know. So our God is the God of miracles. He is, therefore, the God of both time and eternity. Amen. There is no timing with him. Isaiah 57:15 tell us that. He inhabited eternity, right? So he is therefore the God of both time and eternity. So when the time came for Hezekiah to die, God stopped the clock. Amen. He did. Amen. He stopped the sun and turned it back in its course. Apparently, he turned time backwards, sir, until the fatal moment passed away. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He is no respecter of persons. Amen. Whatever you need in your life, he said, I am no respecter of persons. You know, so, and you know, so all this could not have taken place for Hezekiah's sake alone, but for you and I to have faith in God. We are told the things which are written aforetime, are for example for us, that we through this thing also may have faith. Praise the Lord. No matter what you face, and something like that, you know, the same thing, the same God, and the Lord and I change it not. So, David, at one time, of course, he came to his wit's end many times. I pick one of them. In 1 Samuel 30, this was the man that was called. Was a young man, you know, and you know his story without going into it and things like that, you know, it was predestinated, a type of the elect, right? It got nothing to do with it, you know. There was to be, they want a king, right? They don't want theocracy anymore. They want to be like the other nations, right? They don't want theocracy. They don't want God to be God over them, to be king over them anymore, you know. Okay, I will give you your king after your own hand and that, you know. So of course, you know, to replace Saul anyway. So Samuel was sent to the house of Jesse. David wasn't even there at all. Anyway, so it ended up that David was the one that was chosen in the air without going to do the study and so on, that, you know. Anyway, so from that time on, victories, he did Israel a lot of victory. Remember when the Philistines came along to come and, you know, threaten Israel? This little boy was the one that delivered Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. From that day on, he became the enemy of the king of that time, the people's king, right? Saul, right? And this is the anointed king of Israel in the background, praise the Lord. Before he even came to the throne, he was already doing exploits, right? Praise God. So anyway, and he became Saul's enemy and was being chased around. Even in one of the places where he was accepted, while running away from Saul, trouble came also, you know, in 1 Samuel 30. It's called Ziklag, you know. So let me read that one to you. It came to his wits end there also, in 1 Samuel 30. And what one? And it came to pass, when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag, and smitten Ziklag, and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were therein. They slew not any, they didn't kill any of them by God's providence. That's God's intervention right there, you know. Either great or small, but they carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire, and their wives, meaning, and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. They were at their wits' end. David's wives were gone. His two wives were gone. They were taken captives, and so they were crying. All those things, they were crying. So, and then, of course, what happened now? And David was great, verse 6, was greatly distressed for the people, even upon that. Even those people who are with him, they now rebel against him. What have I to do with this? You want to stone David? Can you imagine? He was at his wit's end. His wives were gone. Children were gone. City was burned down. Even his close associates that he had been feeding and helping want to stone him. What will David do? He encouraged himself in the Lord. Amen. When you are at your wit's end, when you have nobody around you, because we are told in verse 6 that you know, but David encouraged himself in the Lord is God. So be of good courage. Amen. Praise the Lord. Be of good courage. You know, the Lord told us, in the world you are going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Praise the Lord. You know what the man of God did? He called Abiathar the priest. I don't have to. I said, Lord, bring the ephod down. Let's seek the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. And when they seek the Lord, that's how they do in those days, how they saw the Lord and so on. Bring the ear for those that they pray. So he brought it and so on. He inquired of the Lord. Lord, shall I go after these people? Me alone? Yeah. Lord said, go after them. And your 600 men, you will capture them and bring them. And he went after them and brought them back. At the wit's end, he saw the Lord. He called upon the Lord, a miracle. And he brought the people back. Praise the Lord. Amen. Now, Elijah was at his wit's end at one time of his ministry and so on. And in 1 Kings 9, so 1 Kings 19, without telling the story of Elijah, so anyway, he had done a great exploit. He was jealous, for the God of Israel. They have thrown down the altar. There is now the king of the people of Israel. They're now worshiping idols and so on. He came out of the wilderness, and of course, you know what happened in there, and the challenger, the idolaters and some of that, and the man came and showed down, and of course, brought fire from heaven, and destroyed the 400 prophets of Baal and the 450 prophets of the groups, Now, all of a sudden, I came to, his wit's end, and some of that, in 1 Kings 19. Now, Ahab invited him to, to his house. Upon getting there, now learned that Jezebel said, "Oh, the gods, this is a god. She said, the gods do unto me and more also. If these have gods, right? If I did not bring down the head of Elijah, this be and something like that, Upon hearing that, the man of God took it to his heels, amen. He fled from the woman. Anyway, so in his wit's end, in 1 Kings 19, but he himself now, Elijah, went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. It was at the wit's end, right? Upon all the exploits, So it doesn't mean that God has done great things with you and for you and some of that, You see, be tested and tried, right? Can come to a wit's end. And he requested for himself that he might die and said, "It is enough. Now, O Lord, take away my life, for I am not better than my fathers." And as he lay and slept under a juniper tree, behold, then an angel touched him and said unto him, "Arise and eat." This man was acquainted with angels. Amen. Praise the Lord. When they called for the drought, drought in the land, the Lord told him, go to the stream and something like that, as an angel will feed you there. Even at the beginning of his ministry, praise the Lord, he was acquainted with angels, So say go to the brook Cherish. What the Bible called it? Go to the brook Cherish. And an angel will feed you there. So it was so. Now the ministry is ending. Is he acquainted with the angels? Even right as we see that now. So he ate. And verse 6. And he looked, and behold, there was a cake baking on the coals, and a cruse of water, at his head. And he did eat and drink, and lay him down again. And the angel of the Lord came again the second time, and touched him, and said, "Arise and eat, because the journey is too great for you. Lest any man see an accident." Maybe the cake was there before, right? God repeated this. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There are doubters in this world. They will try to contend everything the Lord did, Came again and told that, Then on that May, he took a 40-day fast, to go to Mount Horeb. Praise the Lord. See? And told that, Where many things happened on Mount Horeb, and so on. You see, it was at the wit's end. Not even knowing that a breakthrough was just upon him. It's not going to end in the translation and so on. On Mount Horeb now, all things kind of happened. Over there, he went in a cave, and then there was a wind rumbling. The wind rent the rocks and so on, and God was in the wind, and there was fire and so on. God was in the fire. There was a great earthquake. God was in the earthquake. Then he had a still small voice. "Elijah, what dost thou here, Elijah? What dost thou know the children of Israel have forsaken that altar. They have torn it down. They're not serving idols. I and they are slain that prophet. I now am left." Anyway, so now the Lord just told him, among many things, you go back there and praise the Lord. Go back. When you go there, appoint Ahazah to be king over Syria, okay? And Jehu to be king over Israel, and make yourself a successor in the name of Elisha. Praise the Lord. Meaning, get ready for the rapture. Amen. It's a thing to all that look now the rapture, there'll be pressure, and the pressure is on, brethren. Praise the Lord. great pressure and something like that, you know, near the translation and so on. We knowing these things now is to prepare our heart to be strong, not to be weaklings. Praise the Lord. See, so pressure was Elijah at the rapture, translation was near. Anyway, we know the story, and God delivered him, and what God said we do for him.
Praise the Lord Jesus.
I'm trying to cut this short here, but let me see if I can bring one here. So God delivered him with a great deliverance. So now, so let's see a miracle of of divine protection, because we are living a day all kind of things are happening these days, and the Christian need not to be afraid, in this we are living in now, we have to pray up. There are so many things in the air, right now and so on, because why? See, the time of the man of sin to be revealed is at hand and so on, and the rapture of the saints is at hand. Now, so let me talk about just one miracle of protection here concerning this Elisha again, and I'm going to stop here. There are so much here to talk about, but I won't go too much here. But we know, even these few examples, coming at your wit's end, the Lord has an answer for you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Just keep your eye on the Lord. And the miracles of the Lord in your life, He will not take it away from you. So let's see now, Elisha, the prophet, and so on. The Syrians, their arch enemy of Israel, even till today, as we speak now, they are not the arch enemies of Israel, and they hated Elisha in particular because he was a seer, right? Even what they were doing in Syria, he would tell the king of Israel, right? Until one time, the king of Syria said, "Look, is there a sabotage among us here that is spying for the people of Israel?" They said, "No, there was one seer there called Elisha, the son of Shaphat, Whatever you are doing here, he knows about it and some of that, So anyway, and so the king of Syria sent his army, a vast army really, against Israel, to come and even capture Elisha, talking about divine protection they were living in and some of that, So Elisha said, so as they were there, Elisha's servant now woke up in the morning, and he saw the army surrounding them. And he said to his master, "Alas, my master, how shall we do?" It's like, we are at the wit's end now. Look at the army around us. And so, what shall we do now, So, that is in 2 Kings 6:15, actually. "And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, an host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servants said unto him, 'Alas, my master, how shall we do now?'" See, but the man of God, he can see to the spirit world. Praise God. He can see to the spirit world and so on. So he has to work close with God. This thing are not limited to just the prophet. As you work with the Lord, God will show you great things. But I'm telling you, we are too busy in this age. I'm too busy in this age. We need to really come close to the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. God, not for Elisha alone. But we need to get draw nigh unto God. And it will draw nigh unto you, amen? So we need to draw nigh unto God. Anyway, the story of divine protection. So Elisha was calm. Anyway, that's how, when you are close with the Lord, you will be calm. Even when you are at your wit's end, amen? That is the sign of the Holy Ghost, amen? Praise the Lord. So he was calm, and so on that, Elisha was calm, having the knowledge of God's divine protection, right? But he wanted the servant to also have the same peace. Amen. So, in verse 16 of 2 Kings 6, and he answered, "Fear not, for they that are with us are more than they that be with them." Amen. Praise the Lord. All the host of Syria army, spiritual things, they are more real than the material things. Amen. The unseen create the seen. Praise the Lord. So we know that, So then Elisha prayed this prayer in verse 17. And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see." And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses, and chariots of fire ran about Elisha. And the servant's eyes were opened, so that he could see. The army of the angels that God has sent to protect them. The enemy was smitten, of course, with blindness. Can you imagine? He was smitten with blindness. And in their helplessness, now they were willing to follow Elisha. They now are able to obey Elisha's commands. Amen. Oh, it's good to serve the Lord. Amen. I said that today. I say, well, you know, last Sunday, I believe it is, talking about, as you live in the power of God, Satan serves and you rule. Amen. That's how it works. Praise the Lord. When you are following the Lord, and so Satan is like a dead dog. Last Sunday, I don't want to say that one. Like a dead dog, right? He has no power. Satan's power is the power you and I give him. Okay? Now, what is this, you know? Like I said, a dead dog has nothing in him, but when you kick him, he moves, right? But the motion in God is in sapping your energy, right? That's how he's able to move, you know? So that's what it is, I told you that, you know? So we see here, this army were now able to obey Elisha. They were seeking with blindness, now a whole army. So they obey Elisha and so on, that, you know? Elijah led them all the way back to Samaria. Can you imagine? The whole military led them to Samaria, you know? And it came to pass, verse 20, came to pass, when they were come to Samaria, that Elisha said, Lord, open the eyes of these men, amen? that they may see. And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw. And behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. It's so sweet. You know, it's just good to walk with the Lord, amen?
Hallelujah.
It's just so sweet to walk with the Lord, you know? We have trouble because we have to get it done in our own strength. Like I said the other day, last Sunday, in myself, in yourself, you are no match to Satan, amen? That's the truth of the matter. But with Jesus in you, Satan is no match for you. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
So don't sit yourself. You can't fight him by yourself. In my name, they overcome him by the word of their testimony, by the blood of the Lamb. Praise the Lord. Put that in your mind. Because the time we get wicked is this. You are looking at yourself. You know, it's not you. It is the Lord Jesus in you that does all these things. Anyway, so the way it was in Samaria, and we have a lesson here. Don't we see that there is nothing to have for the Lord? Amen. So that's what I'm trying to bring for this morning. In your wit's end, remember, there is a way. Satan will show you how many thousand times how there will be no way out. Don't listen to him, amen. He's a liar and father of it. Last Sunday message, right? He's a liar and the father of it. Praise the Lord. See, now, we learn something here that God can heal individuals. He can do mass healing too. We've seen it in crusades, you know, praise God. That the mass healing, man of God will just preach the gospel and so on. Eyes will be open, and the people crippled will walk. We've seen it all. So it all comes from the Old Testament. All the army were healed in this case. God said, Elijah said, open their eyes, and their eyes were open and so on. So let us learn from these things. God's divine protection in this place we are living in. And let me just cut it short here. Some other time we can continue. But before I do that, I'm saying that angelic protection. It's not for Elisha alone. We are living in the last days now. We are told in the scriptures that there is always an angelic protection for the believer. Amen? So in Hebrews 12:22, but ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. Talking to Christians. Amen? Praise the Lord. No wonder. He said they are more with us than they are with them, amen? After all, only in thought of the angels fair, right? Praise the Lord. And now we are told in Psalm 34, verse 7, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. Psalm 91, I close from here. I'm going to cut this off here. Psalm 91, verse 10, and there shall no evil befall thee, amen? Neither shall any plague, this is what we use in these days and so on, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angel, it's plural, give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Whether you are driving, you are walking in the hospital, doesn't matter. The angel of the Lord encamps around you, amen? Praise the Lord Jesus. driving, sleeping, whatever you are doing. So this morning, I call this shock and make a part two of it. I think that, you know, you know, so when you are at your wit's end, that's what the time will make it. You know, that God has an answer for you. You need a miracle. A miracle is what we need, and God will perform a miracle. Amen. Amen. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Our God is the God of miracles. This Bible is the book of miracles. And when God has done something for you, and they are walking with the Lord, until there's no more need to it, when we go in the rapture, amen. No one can take it away from you. Father, we thank you this morning. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your word. Your word is a light unto our feet, a lamp unto our feet, and light unto our path. Never shall we walk in darkness. We know assuredly we have the light of life in the name of the Lord Jesus. No matter what confront us, sir, we are more than conquerors. We are winners, sir, through our Lord Jesus Christ. When a man's way pleases the Lord, he will even make his enemies, sir, to be at peace with him, like we see there in the time of Elisha. Even the arch enemy, they know they were at peace with him. No, because the way of the prophet pleased the Lord. No, because of faith in our heart, we are walking and pleasing God. Our enemies, sir, they shall surrender unto us in the name of the Lord Jesus. So we thank you this morning. We worship you as we go this morning. Let the Spirit of the Lord, that's what the Holy Ghost is here for. For many, many things, it's not for many things. To put us in remembrance of the things we have had. Let nothing, let not any of these things slip from our hands and from our hearts. In the name of the Lord Jesus, sir. But let open our heart. Help us to have much time of communion with the Lord. Meditating upon the word of God. No matter where we are, we can be driving and our heart can still be with the Lord. We will see more of the supernatural power of the Lord as we spend more time with the Lord in prayer and meditation. That's how it comes. Angels begin to appear to us as in the early church, and Lord, divine guidance will be ubiquitous. It will be a daily affair. Lord, we thank you, Father. We worship you, Lord. We don't want to be like those Israelite people. A journey of 40 days to be 40 years. We don't want that, Lord. The shortest course of work is to walk with the Lord in obedience, in humility, and create time for the Lord and to study the word of God. Memorize it, speak it. This word of the Lord shall not depart from your mouth. In it shall thou meditate day and night. Then shall thou make your way prosperous. Then shall thou have a good success. That's what the Bible says. There's no shortcut, said the Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus. No shortcut. Lord, we thank you. Blessed be the name of the Lord. We pray for those who are not here this morning. Lord, we pray that in the name of the Lord, whatever may be the issue with them, Lord, Father God, we know your presence is with them also. The omnipresent God is with them also. We thank you for all the God's children in our locality this morning, in the city here, all the other services of the children of God, Lord. Lord, we pray for, we know you have blessed them too, Lord. And we worship and we adore. We commit the week to your hand this morning, Lord. Commit our way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. And he shall bring it to pass. Lord, all the crooked places we commanded to be made straight. In the name of the Lord Jesus. As we have heard this morning, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Any kind of thing that is making like we are in the wit's end now, the supernatural power of the Lord is upon us. We make a way here where there is no way. In the name of the Lord. Lord, the Jehovah Jireh, the supplier, the air shall die. The all-sufficient one is with us. In the name of the Lord. We shall lack no good thing. In the name of the Lord Jesus. He will supply all our needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Father, we thank you as we go. We worship and we adore you. Until we meet again, Lord, we will watch between us. Receive all the glory, Father. In Jesus' name, Father, we pray. Amen. Praise the Lord Jesus.
Hallelujah. I have a prayer request for your daughter Rachel.
Yes. Oh, amen.